So this is the box pod.
That is.
How you doing?
It's been a bit tense trying to conserve Formula One related conversations between us both.
Right, let's roll the intro music. Right, what's up? I'm Sam. Joining me across the room is Dom.
Hola.
And this is the Box Pod, your new favourite Formula One pod. So,
who is it their favourite if they haven't heard it yet?
Your new favourite? Stop asking questions. Anyway, so much has happened this week in Formula One.
Literally, like, my phone's been going off with the F1 app being like, did you know about this? Did you know about this? Did you know about this? And it's like,
oh no, my God.
No, but let's go.
So, yeah, I mean, when we came with this idea, we're like, yeah, we'll start it in March. Season will start. It'll be cool. And then just...
that much has happened this week. It'd be rude not to...
shit literally hit the fan.
Well, the thing is, we could have, built up... a list of all these things that have happened, but we're recording this now. What's the date? We don't need to talk about the date, but it's December.
It's the 22nd of December. Happy Christmas in 3 days, Dom.
Yes, that one. But
Dom is here in a full Santa suit.
I am. Oh ho ho. But yeah, I don't know when this is going to get out, but by the time it does, it's probably going to be old news. But it's going to be good to talk about it and hear some discussions.
So let's get on with it. Anyway, now you know who we are. First things first, Checo's gone. And he's not in a sidewall.
Do you not remember it was Liam at work when it was that guy that was hosting it on the it weren't Abu Dhabi, Qatar. It was the Qatar race, and I sang over the microphone. Na 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 na. Checo's getting sacked. Getting sacked. Checo's getting sacked.
So yeah,
I want to say I predicted the future, but I think we all knew.
We all knew Checo was going.
It's a shame because he's what, 4 year stint at Red Bull.
Yeah, and initially was a decent driver. He's just kind of...
Verstappen wouldn't have been gifted his first title if it weren't for Checo. So
no, exactly.
You could say the same thing with Hamilton, with most of his titles, especially when he had Bottas as his teammate. It was a case of Bottas was doing pretty much the same sort of work as what Checo was doing. And granted, the team's favoured... the number one drivers being obviously Hamilton and Verstappen, but
yeah.
I suppose when you sign to a team like Mercedes or Red Bull, if you're the number one driver or not.
You do. So, you know who's number one and number two. But talking of Red Bull, Liam Lawson, he's left a sugar-free Red Bull.
Sugar-free Red Bull. I saw that. Oh, God. He's like, Red Bull, two teams, what? Sugar-free Red Bull. I think it's because he's Northern, it makes it twice as funny.
Have you seen the video of Yuki Tsunoda when he's like, it's not sugar-free.
He said it back. It's not sugar. Yeah. It's actually called Cash App V-Carb. Visa Cash App RB.
Yeah, it's something. It's some long-winded name.
When Lawson was first on the scene as... the Red Bull V-Carb reserve driver.
No, he wasn't V-Carb, he was Red Bull Racing Reserve.
Well, yeah. It was just, you see him on the scene, and I saw a couple of things. Do you remember that drone video?
With Coulthard.
He was the first one to drive the RB car.
Yeah.
Before they did the proper test with, so I think that was the first I saw of him. I think
mine was when it was actually, I think it was a carway video where I think they raced an F1 car versus a Tesla Plaid. Annoyingly, the Tesla Plaid won off the line.
Tesla. But no, it's I don't know when he got announced originally replacing Ricciardo, I was like, I had the same feelings as what I had towards Oscar Piastri when Oscar replaced Ricciardo at McLaren that long ago, and I was like, fuck this guy. He's just, no, I didn't like Oscar, but like, I think that's because everyone's just got so much love for Danny Rick, and then
because we all love a shoey.
Yeah,
we all love a shoey.
But the thing is, like, even with Piastri being an Aussie as well, it's like, when I found out that like Piastri is kind of Mark Webber's kind of nurtured talent, and he's like, I was like, okay, I can kind of get behind him now, because again, I don't know, I got the same love for Webber as what I do for Ricciardo. I think he's just Ricciardo's just the newer Webber.
Yeah.
And I think the more you learn about Piastri, it's the same thing. But I got lost on the tangent with Piastri here. But yeah.
But Liam Lawson
coming in, it was just like.
So the question is, and I think it's been the big topic at the minute, do you think Yuki deserved that seat? Or do 100%. Do you think it was Liam Lawson deserved it?
The only reason that Yuki Tsunoda's still in F1 in general, and it's nothing against his talent, because I think he deserves to be in F1, but it's because he's Japanese and Honda make the engine. And that's it. That's literally like one of Honda's terms of delivering a high performance engine is you must have a Japanese driver. So, like, I mean, it's been stated multiple times.
We don't
know
if that's fact, but it's.
I'm 99% certain. I don't want to say I read it on the internet.
Yeah.
But I read it on the internet. But it's one of those. And I think the reason, like, from my perspective of him being sat on. Just sat. In essentially seat two in the V-carb, he's only there to keep Red Bull sweet, Honda sweet. And I think if anyone did deserve that Red Bull seat, it was him. Even if they did the vicious Red Bull cycle like they did with Albon and Pierre Gasly, of putting him in for a couple of races and then go, nah, actually, you know what?
You're not the driver for us.
Exactly. And then put Lawson in, because I think, I can't remember the stats, but I saw a thing the other day comparing the six races that Lawson did for RB.
Yeah.
And it was comparing the stats between the two of them. And I think Tsunoda slightly outperformed him. But everyone said from, I think, interviews that I saw with Red Bull that Lawson was the stronger driver in the Red Bull car, which, you know, they're different cars, so it makes sense. But yeah, I'm not happy. Yuki deserves justice.
Yuki doesn't. See, I'm a little bit different. I think Liam, again, he sat as a reserve driver for Red Bull. He knows those cars. Like, obviously, Yuki's never actually driven the Red Bull F1 car. And yeah, like, don't wrong, like, they have a standard with the FIA, and we're not going to get down that today.
Well, I know he did some post-season testing in one as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
So,
and that's the thing, like, Liam really knows those cars already. Fair enough, he hasn't raced them, but he knows how to behave. And it's kind of one of those ones where, obviously, unlike, I know, another manufacturer, which we'll talk about later on, I know they're probably not going to be developing a complete new car for this year. Are they for 2025?
I think, is it 2026 that new rules come in, and it's pretty much ground up, ain't it?
Yeah, but I know. Well, we'll mention it. Obviously, Ferrari have announced that they're basically going to be doing a new car from scratch for 25.
Bloody hell! I
think already it was 97% a new car.
That's a big commitment. I think is it like 60 days till the start of the new season?
90 days.
No,
it's March.
Oh, it's too long.
I know.
I think. Like, after watching, so like, I've rewatched Drive to Survive from like start to finish again, because there's no races to watch. So,
yeah.
And I think after watching that, I regained my love for Oscar Piastri again, and obviously for Liam Lawson again, because, because he filled in for Danny Rick last season as well, didn't he? I can't even remember what season it was.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah, but.
But yeah, whilst we were talking about Ferrari, Hamilton, the end of an era with Mercedes. Well, Petronas.
Oh, the memes. the memes have been sensational.
Oh, they've been incredible. They have it's been, honestly.
The one with Sebastian Vettel, where he's like, oh, yeah, moving to Ferrari after winning some world championships. Yeah, great move. I'm sure it'll be fine. And then, off topic with that same meme, but with Verstappen and Sebastian Vettel. It's like, oh, having a kid. Yeah, that won't be the end of your career. You're going to have George Russell saying the Alonso line of, he's got a wife and kids at home. I knew it was going to break early. George Russell's just like, get in there.
Oh, but yeah. I'll tell you though, I think it was an emotional end at Abu Dhabi as well with Lewis.
Because
obviously, I mean, how long has he been with?
6-7 years, I think.
I thought it was 2013 he joined.
I really don't know. I'm a fake fan.
You know what? It's going to be Pete. This ain't a technical podcast. No. This is two mates who enjoy F1.
It might get more technical as it goes on. But
also, you may hear about our absolute shitbox project cars.
Yeah, may. I think it might be worth stating that both me and you have dabbled our interests in Formula One in previous years, but it was only really this season that we both
really
fell back in love with Formula One again.
I think for me as well, what also really pushed me back into my love of Formula One, because I'm one of the DJs at Formula One Arcade. And obviously I do like a lot of the hosting there for like the race days, and it's kind of like UK and we watch it together, and it really did rediscover our, and it's, it. And it's been a hell of a season.
It has.
I'm here trying to spell Patronus, but my dyslexic ass is like, head of Petron.
Petronas. What we got?
How
long has Hamilton been at Mercedes?
2013.
Fair play.
2013. I'll tell you, the video with Toto Wolff, have you seen the one where he's walking around the, it's like the McLaren, not McLaren, it used to be McLaren. Good God, I'm terrible today. It's Sunday. We both got in at God knows what time this morning. I'm very tired.
I got home at 7 a.m.
I got home at like 4. We weren't actually out. We were just out working.
Money off him, Mac,
yeah. Nah, basically, it's like Lewis and Toto walking around like all the Patronus cars.
Yeah. They had the McLaren Mercedes as well, didn't they? The one that he won his first title with.
But then they had Schumacher's Patronus cars, some of his helmets. It's a really nice video, but you know what? We're on the subject of Mercedes before we go off to about Lewis Hamilton. Bottas is back. Valtteri is back.
Well, you see, I was talking to my old man about this.
The memes have been incredible.
I was talking to my old man about it, and he's like, yeah, but what's he going to do at as a reserve driver? And I was like, well, Liam Lawson came through as a reserve driver, so
a lot of them did, man.
Yeah,
like that's normally how it works these days. Like,
I mean, no, I think Lewis was 13 when he signed for McLaren in the like young drivers program or whatever it was called then. So yeah, it's one of them where you've got to think in the situation at the moment with Bottas back at Mercedes is like Antonelli is. You know, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
And Mercedes could play some ruthless Red Bull tactics if they wanted to. And if after, I mean, look at the tests that that Antonelli's done so far. I think, as far as I'm aware, I might be wrong, but he's done testing in the actual, like, Mercedes race-going cars twice.
Yeah.
And the first time, I think he binned it. But granted, I think he set, like, fastest lap 30 seconds before he binned it. So, you know,
He was sending it. I mean, to be fair, me and you know the thing about sending it into
things.
Yeah. Obviously only on go-kart tracks when Dom tries to kill me or when a wheel falls off.
I've never tried to kill you in a go-kart. It's Jamie that I've tried to kill. I unintentionally really tried to kill him. But anyway.
But you know what? In other news, McLaren and the Constructor Championship were just quick one. Neither of us are really Verstappen fans, but congratulations on your world championship. It's not going to happen again because you've got a kid now.
Was it his third or his fourth?
Fourth.
No, it's his third.
Yeah, no. McLaren. You know, I don't get what the hatred is for Zach Brown, you know.
Oh, I've got zero hatred for Zach
Brown.
I think
the guy's a geezer. Yeah. I see so much, like, I lied about, like, hatred for Zach. I'm like, nah, Zach is a guy you go down the pub and will buy you a pint.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of the hatred that Zach Brown gets is purely because, again, and this is just me viewing it here, this is my opinion, is that he's American.
Yeah.
And F1 has never really been a very welcoming sport towards Americans, just in general, which I don't feel like is fair or right, but from past experiences, from what I've seen of it, that's how it seems to be. And I think when he first came in, because this is something that I learned recently as well, is that he's not actually the principal, he's just the CEO, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think Drive to, because he was featured so much in Drive to Survive, everyone sees him as like the McLaren boss, and it's like, yeah, okay. But the more, again, from watching him in Drive to Survive and seeing all the McLaren social media content that they put out,
yeah,
it's like, it's really, he's a lovable character.
Yeah,
like, you
really,
can't help but like him.
Did you not see when he went to in front of Ferrari, like with the guns out?
Yeah, well, I know that him and Fred are good friends, aren't they? Yeah. So it's like,
to be fair, I know him and he gets on quite well with most of the people on the grid, don't he?
Yeah, that's it. I think, yeah, I just think because he's kind of laid back and chill, but he's not afraid to speak his mind, and he's not afraid to put his foot down when he needs to, and that's that's what makes him a good boss, essentially. So, was it him? I'm trying to recall whether it was him in the room or not, but have you seen it was in Drive to Survive where Mercedes were having the porpoising issues with the car.
Yeah.
And Toto's kicking off at like Christian, going, oh, well, Checo says the car's shit. And he's like, no, speak to your drivers. Blah, blah, blah. And I think it was Gunther and like Zach Brown just both sat there like,
you know, I miss Gunther, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah.
But you know what? Talking to the Americans, there's going to be a V8 powered.
Oh, God, Cadillac. Yeah. Oh, God.
Wait, yeah. Move a camp on a V8.
Well, the thing is, like, with Haas and the new kind of GR Toyota thing, it's like you're going to have a 2J swapped F1 car and a LS.
A K20 F1 car.
Yeah. Don't joke about that. I saw that HRC have developed, basically devised a K20 engine. Well, a K-series engine, sorry. Because I don't know if it's a 2 litre or not. But yeah, and they put it in a like basically single seat F1 looking car, and it's setting like.
There's a K20 single seater.
There is a K series formula car. We'll call it that. I might be wrong. The terminology might be wrong. But
that is incredible.
I need to find it. I'll find it. I'll send it. Yeah, it's hysterical. I saw it and I was like, this is all I need to know.
A K-Series F1, that is incredible.
Just for some context, I'm a big Honda fanboy of their cars. Not just Formula One stuff, just cars.
Honda in general.
Honda and VTEC.
And yeah, we'll do a bit more of an origin story of me and Dom and our sort of involvement with motorsport and cars. Because, again, just a quick one for context. With me and Dom, we're not just like diehard F1 fans, we're just diehard petrolheads.
Yeah.
Like we spend a bit too much time massaging the spanners on weekend. Well, weekdays.
Weekdays. We work weekends.
But, you know, I do think, though, going back to Cadillac, I think it'd be quick in a straight line. I do actually think it'll be rapid in a straight line.
I think 2026 they're coming
in? Yeah, 26.
So I think the first their first season, if you look back to most kind of teams' origins where they start, especially in, like, the last 20 years, it's usually a case of the first season or two is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, they're finding their feet at the end of the day. It's a whole new ball game. And for a team, I don't know any of the technicals of who they're bringing in or what like personnel they've got on board and how it's going to work. So, yeah, they could bring in someone, not saying him, but like Adrian Newey, that comes in and builds an absolute
beast of a car.
Yeah. And dominate from the first season, like Braun GP, but Braun
another example with Cadillac. I've been making the V8 jokes and they're going to be fast in a straight line, but when they did Le Mans and they turned up literally with a NASCAR, with a stock car, and it, like, fair enough, it was entered in the
I was gonna say it was kind of in its own class, really.
No, well, it was in the experimental class, which is like what some of like the weird LMP ones are in.
Yeah.
But it was still like there weren't much that could keep up with it.
Yeah.
Like in the corners and everything, and like I'm like, that's, it's gonna be interesting.
But that's them taking something that they've spent years developing prior.
Yeah.
Something that they knew was going to be good anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, we're
building from F1 from the ground up.
And with F1 as well, it's that smaller engine platform. It's something that the Americans don't really. Yeah,
well, you don't see a. What are Formula One cars at the moment? 1.6?
1.6 hybrid turbo.
Yeah. So, could you imagine seeing like a Chevy with a 1.6 or like a Cadillac?
Yeah. Like it just felt like literally, I think the smallest engine, like most Caddies do or Chevys, it's like a 3 litre V6 now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like so yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting.
Talking of the small engines and a company who does know how to do them well, Audi for 25, is it 25 or 26 Audis coming in?
They're
taking over Kick, aren't they?
Yes. So the whole thing with Audi is, again, I think it's uncomparable to Cadillac, because Cadillac are coming in, again, as far as I'm aware, I might be wrong, but as far as I'm aware, they're coming in as a complete brand new startup team. So yeah, there's no prior research or development to go off. So they're literally starting with a blank page, whereas Audi are coming in and, granted, they're taking
over another team.
Well, I would say unarguably the worst car on the grid.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like the Kickstarter car, unfortunately, it's a bag of shit.
Yeah. It's I can't remember if the Kick car is derived from back when it was BMW Patronus. No, BMW Sauber, sorry.
Yeah.
Because that was the last time I really watched.
Wasn't it Alfa who was Sauber before?
Yes, but it was, I think it was Alfa Romeo Sauber. Yeah. I don't know. Sauber comes up a lot. And I'm sure I've researched it once or twice before.
They've been around. We'll check that and speak about that in the next episode.
Yeah, because
hold up,
BMW. Well, yeah, I remember when that, because that was the last time I watched F1 when it was. I think Toro Rosso had just started, because it was Scuderia Toro Rosso.
Yeah, you're going back now. You're making me feel old, Dom.
It was Scuderia Toro Rosso, and I remember BMW Sauber. And yeah, I think HRC had their own team then. And
yeah.
That's my point that I'm making, is that although Audi are coming in and it is their first time in F1, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But the thing with Audi, again, and this is the argument I've been, well, the point I've been making with a lot of people who I've spoken to about, it might be Audi's first time at F1, but Audi have got a lot of experience.
In motorsport.
Well, Volkswagen Audi Group, because what I think is Porsche, they've been doing Le Mans. Audi literally have made like multiple like championship winning Le Mans cars. They've got massive history in rally. They know what they're doing when it comes to motorsport.
Yeah, exactly.
And the development budget behind them is going to be massive. I really think the first season is going to be a bit crap because they're taking over Sauber, but it's going to be a bit like what Red Bull was when Red Bull took over Jaguar. Couple of seasons were crap, and then they really got their feet.
I'm hoping that when Audi come and take over, is that as much as I'm trying to think of a team that they should like strive to outperform, and the number one team that pops up is Williams. But
yeah,
obviously, well, I say obviously, it could be, it's 2026. I think both drivers are contracted for 2026, both Albon and Sainz. But you know, I want Sainz to do well at Williams.
Yeah.
So I can't, hand on heart, say that I want Audi to outperform Williams, but at the same time, who are they going to then outperform past that? Actually falling into Haas and Alpine, but I think it's not.
Haas have really made some serious moves. The second half the last quarter of the race season, Haas were making some serious moves.
Yeah.
Like, Haas have always kind of been, they've always been the underdog, and they've been a real contender lately.
Yeah, massively.
And they're not like some of the other teams who've got hundreds of millions of research going to be on them. Hundreds of millions of pounds of research. Good God, that took a second to get out.
Well, that's the thing as well with they've got another cheeky segue to another topic is Ollie Bearman at Haas.
Yeah.
That's quite I'm excited for that. I'm a
100%.
bit, I'm a bit, But I'm a bit sad that K-Mag's gone. Because I don't feel like his F1 journey's over just yet. But I'm sure I saw something on social media saying where he went, I can't be arsed anymore, basically. It's like, okay, fair enough.
I'll tell you, I've heard again that there's talks of Danny Ric coming back again. I don't know what team, but there's rumours in that.
When Cadillac was announced, it was like, everyone was like, Danny Ric. And now I think he was doing like a photo meet and greet thing with a fan. And he was like, so Cadillac, huh? And he was like, nah, I'm done. And it's like, did he mean, like, what does he mean by that? Is he done with F1? Is he just done, like, no, I'm not going to another crap team.
I think it could be one of those ones, though, with Danny Ric. It's really hard to gauge because he has been in F1 for a long time.
Yeah.
So maybe he just wants a break. Because I think it's one of
those
ones.
He's had his fair share of breaks, though, because I think he had that half a season off when he got sacked from McLaren. And then I think he did two halves of seasons off. So he had like the half of the end half of one season and then the first half of another season off. And then that's when he got pulled into VCARB I think it was still Toro Rosso then.
Yeah.
Or is it Toro Rosso?
Toro Rosso. Yeah.
So I think it was still that then. When he replaced Nyck de Vries, he was terrible. I feel really bad for Nyck because that was a while ago, but he came in and he was like Formula 2 champion and then got in an F1 car and was like, nah, I can't do it. He really, really, really folded. But yeah.
I'll tell you what I've been sort of watching, especially like whilst the races and has been on, is F1 Academy.
I hear a lot of people talking about that.
F1 Academy is absolutely lit. Like, it's really good.
Maybe I need to get on it.
I think the thing is, it's purely down to driver ability as well, because...
Aren't all the cars, like, exactly the same?
Yeah, cars are the same, aero's the same.
The same as, like, F2 and F3.
Like it's a level playing field, so it's just purely down to driver ability. And Abby Pullin is a beast. And she drives for Haas.
I'll show you the video later. I saw a video. I think I might have even sent it to you at one point. Whoever, be it Formula 2 or F1 Academy or whatever it is, that for Alpine.
Yeah.
I think it's a female driver. And the dancing to the Ketchup song in the garage.
I've seen that. I've seen that.
And that was enough to get me. I was like, yeah, okay. If these people have got just as much personality as Formula 1 drivers. Well, some Formula 1 drivers.
To be honest, you know what though, like you've touched on Carlos Sainz going to Williams.
Did you hear that he took Santander with him as a sponsor? Because obviously Santander is a Spanish bank. And I think it's like $1 billion deal.
I love him.
I took them. I think like Santander approached Williams and was like, we want to be with the smooth operator.
Did you see Ferrari's goodbye to Sainz like that? His dad,
they took a boat friend.
His granddad was in like one of like the like 60s F1 cars.
I didn't see anything about his granddad. I only saw him and his dad.
Yeah, he's him, his dad, and his granddad was there as well, because his granddad always wanted to drive like a classic Ferrari. So they're like, yeah, you go out. It just made me laugh. He was going to his dad. He's like, yeah, you need to break a bit harder there.
Yeah,
like forgetting that his dad is also what 8-time world Dakar champion.
It's that video where they're both in, I think it's like just some like road going Ferrari.
Yeah.
And he's like, Brenner.
and his dad's like, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's like telling your dad not to drift when he's a rally guy is not ideal.
You know, honestly, like, I mean, Lance Stroll's still at Aston Martin.
Lance Stroll isn't going anywhere, let's be real.
Oh no, my dad owns the team.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with my dad about it the other day, and I was basically trying to defend him in a sense, because if we talk back to like Abu Dhabi 21, which is a very touchy subject for myself, I'm getting PTSD thinking about it, but I think, like, in that race, he was doing so well. And, like, that season as a whole, he did quite well. And it's just... Yeah, I don't... Because I think it was... I can't remember what the team was back then. But yeah, he did well. And yeah, I mean, you've got to think when you put him side by side with Alonso, yeah, you know, when he beached it, was it Brazil?
Yeah, I think it was Brazil.
So, granted, he's made some stupid mistakes that would have cost any other Formula One driver their career. Yeah, fair.
Yes, and it does also help that your dad owns the F1 team.
Yeah, so he's a good driver when he drives well. And when he doesn't drive well, he's terrible. There's no in-between with him. Like, a lot of other drivers are consistently well above average, yeah. Whereas Lance Stroll falls in the well below average. But when he does really well, he does really well.
Yeah.
So
I will say though, like, going quickly back to Kick Sauber, was it a thread that Valtteri Bottas put up? And he was like, leaving, going to Sauber was the worst decision in my career, yeah. Or something like
or
that.
Or he regrets it. Yeah.
I'm like, you know, when your team's crap, when even the driver's like, yeah, this was literally a bad career move.
It's not. It's. Yeah. I don't know. Like, even with like Joe, it's like, I think that he got his first ever points finished, and he's like the first ever Chinese Formula One driver.
Yeah.
So it's like, fair play. Fair play to be able to, I don't want to say fair play to be able to finish in the points, but in that car.
Yeah.
Impressive. So, yeah, I feel like I feel like he did well, and I feel like the team have made some mistakes here and there, but it's only because, in my opinion, the stake team principal, Binotto, the old Ferrari team principal.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, to be honest, I think points for shortest Formula One career definitely go to this season, Franco Colapinto.
You know what? We need Franco Colapinto in F1.
Just for the name.
Just for the name. Just because it's so good to say. Franco Colapinto.
It's like me and my dad were chatting about this. Have you ever noticed that Formula One drivers always have like the most incredible names you ever heard?
Oh yeah. Like, it's well deserved. Oh, it's Andrea Kimi Antonelli, the first Italian Formula One driver in a while.
Look, the greatest F1 driver name goes to this.
Go on.
Nigel Ernest Mansell.
Nigel Mansell.
With his moustache.
Oh, what a guy. You know what? I started watching some old races on F1 TV.
Yeah.
And just recapping some bits. And Nigel Mansell was actually a really, really good driver.
He was. I will say, I still need to watch the documentary about Ayrton Senna, you know, Senna.
The Netflix documentary. Because there's on Netflix now, there's a documentary, and then there's the new Senna series. Have you seen the series?
No, I think that's what I'm on about, is the Senna series.
The series. My God, worth a watch. I binged it, like, in an afternoon. Like, it is, from start to finish, it's just like, and it made me cry at the end.
I mean, to be fair.
Like, you know what's coming, you know what's going to happen, and you're still like, so.
I mean, to be fair, I have just got a bigger TV and soundbar and everything. I feel that's a,
there you go.
That's an excuse to watch that, you know.
Is. That, mate, that's a Boxing Day thing, that is. If you can convince your mum to not watch TV, just get her to go do something. And,
I'm not there, mate.
Oh.
I'm back at home.
Oh, there you go then.
So, I think that's everything, Dominic.
It was a good discussion.
It was. The thing is, we normally speak every day about this, and we've
held it back.
It's a lot, like, we've barely spoke to each other. It's been like, mate, have you said, no, shut up.
I mean, yeah, what we touched on, Perez.
What else? You know, we're both ADHD in.
Perez.
Liam Lawson. Hamilton against Ferrari.
Bottas.
I love Valtteri. You know, just quick one, just before we go. Highlight of the advert of the year was the Deliveroo Valtteri Bottas.
It was Uber.
Oh, yeah. Uber.
I drive very fast cars.
And I like a yurt. Or was it Deliveroo?
No, it was Uber because they were doing like the Uber car share thing. It's like,
you can use my yurt.
Yeah. God, we talked on Bottas.
Bottas.
McLaren?
McLaren, yeah. And Zach and...
Do you know what though? Just a quick one. I really want to get down and enjoy McLaren as a team. I'm not particularly a massive fan of Lando Norris, but I will support him when necessary. But
you'll support him when he gaps Max Verstappen.
Yeah, exactly. But and I know that papaya is like McLaren's original colours back when Bruce McLaren started the team and whatever. But can we please just bring back red and white McLaren, like Marlborough McLaren? Because that is the best. It was
great.
Especially now
Alpha's not on the grid.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who are you contending with? Ferrari. Oh, big deal. Ferrari's like...
Everyone knows red is Ferrari.
And Ferrari is majority red. If we got that like 50-50 like red and white going on, like, I just really wanted to touch on that.
Just while you've touched on that, it's now reminding me of getting, because we were talking about Senna, was when they were sending around Senna's car and it was Sebastian Vettel, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, the original sponsor on there, except for Marlboro.
It was the same when Hamilton did it at Brazil, though.
Yeah.
When they
sent Shuey's F2004 round.
Yeah.
Because obviously Formula One can't be sponsored by cigarette companies.
Yeah.
But it can be sponsored by Velo, which is owned by a cigarette company.
It baffles me how they're allowed to have alcohol, even when they put like the 0% one on there. But it's like, oh no, but we can't have tobacco companies. We digress.
Right, you can follow us on all the socials at boxboxboxpod.
Boxboxbox.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I may put an edit in, like
maybe
when I edit this, if we can't get those socials.
It'll be something.
Right, I've been Sam.
I've been Dom.
Sensational. See you on the next one.
Hey, have a wonderful day.
Happy Christmas, Dom.
Merry Christmas.